Well, good morning.
My name is Andrew. I'm one of the pastors here. I would love to meet you today if I haven't got to do that yet. I am going to preach here in just a minute, but I wanted to give a quick update and some reminders about, maybe you've guessed it by now, Outlinks. We've been talking about this a lot. We talk about it all the time. Outlinks is always for others. And coming out of our Outlinks Sunday a few weeks ago now, we have issued this $250,000 goal for us as Worcester Nazarene to give away to others, both here locally and around the world. We've talked about this $1,000 challenge where if we have 250 units of $1,000, we can reach that goal. And so we've been making Outlinks promises through the Outlinks promise cards, or maybe you've done that online. And to this day, we've had almost $78,000 promised for Outlinks this year. So clap for yourselves because that is awesome. We're getting there. Thank you. Thank you for your generosity. And over the last couple of weeks, we've been issuing a very clear challenge. Pastor started talking about this a few weeks ago. We talked about last Sunday, and next Sunday, officially, we're going to launch the $1,000 challenge in a little different iteration, specifically through the Outlinks box. The challenge is, and always has been, $1 from every person every week. And so I think we have a little graphic to show you. The $1,000 challenge, starting next Sunday, July 5th, through Sunday, August 15th, every one of those Sundays, our goal is to hit $1,000 or more in the Outlinks box, and then to see how even far beyond we can do that. And I know we can do this because we did it last week. We didn't even start the challenge yet, and we did it last week. We were already above $1,000. So all of us combined, I was just talking to my son Judah about it out by the coffee shop this morning, in the kids' areas, and Thrive, Route 56, all of us combined together, $1 from every person every week, we can go above and beyond that $1,000 goal. So that is the challenge. That is Outlinks. That's my spiel for that today. We are going to go in and land this series called Living Well. This has been an awesome series through 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And I do have a joke for you today. Can we tell a joke in church? Is that okay? Depend. Pastor said it depends. It's appropriate, I promise. I did tell this joke at Celebrate Recovery on Wednesday night, so if you were there, you're going to hear it again. But there was these two brothers. They were getting close to middle school age, and they were over at their grandmother's house, and it was right around the time of the year where, like, grandma's going to be buying Christmas gifts. And so they were on their best behavior. They're really good all day long, and it comes time for bedtime, and grandma's like, okay, boys, it's time to go upstairs, say your prayers, and go to bed. And they're like, okay, very obedient. They brush their teeth, went upstairs, and the one brother kneels down by his bed, and he's saying his prayers and normal and quiet. And then all of a sudden, his brother just starts screaming, Xbox, computer, money, 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 Game Boy. And his brother's like, dude, what are you doing? He's like, God is not deaf. And the brother that was screaming, he's like, yeah, but grandma is. I am going to tie that in a little bit in just a few minutes, I promise. It'll connect. But today, the title of my message is No Greater Joy. 3 John, I'm really going to focus in on verses 1 through 4 and land on verse 4. If you read the rest of 3 John, there's good stuff in there. Basically, don't be like one guy, be like another guy, and live like Jesus and love people well. That's the verses I'm not going to hit today. But 3 John, verses 1 through 4, maybe we'll talk about it in the podcast this week, those other verses. 3 John, verses 1 through 4 from the ESV says this. It says, the elder, which we've been knowing through these books, that is John the elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. For I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. And then this verse, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. No greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. From the New Beacon Bible Commentary, it was talking about this passage, and it said, the elder, John, was extremely pleased. He said, no greater joy that his children were following the Christian path. To walk in the truth emphasizes, and I want you to catch this, it emphasizes both concepts to be believed and a lifestyle to be practiced. The present participle translated are walking, our walking conveys an image of an ongoing journey. Walking in the truth. This series today that we're wrapping up is called Living Well. And I would say in the context of this passage, living well means walking this out, this ongoing journey in the truth. Maybe as Paul said, as Pastor alluded to last week, follow me as I follow Christ. This is the type of walk that John was saying. He had no greater joy than to know these people he had invested in, these spiritual children that he had poured his life out, were actually walking and living in the truth of Jesus. That was his joy. So as I was reading that these last few weeks, and as I read that line from that commentary, concepts to be believed and a lifestyle to be practiced, I just started having these questions in my mind. And I'm going to be asking you some questions today. And I want to be clear. I'm just asking questions. My job as one of your pastors today is to present the truth. And I'm going to do that to the very best of my ability. The Holy Spirit's job is to bring conviction and correction and redirection. Our job is to be obedient and say yes, wherever he's calling us today. So just keep that in mind. But I want to ask you today, who or what is your joy source? Who or what is your joy source? What temporary things of this world are you seeking and trying to find joy in? Another thing I want to do today is tie together all of these different things that we've been talking about from John. So this is from 1 John 2:15 to 17. He said, we talked about this a few weeks ago, do not love this world or anything it offers. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for the physical, for a physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. And this world is fading away, along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. I want to ask you today, what things are you watching? What things are you listening to or eating or drinking or otherwise consuming to seek after joy, but all you feel is empty and unsatisfied no matter how much you try and you seek and you go after these things? I'm concerned that in our culture, and I would say even in the church, even in Worcester Naz, that we've engaged in this practice that I'm calling joy replacement therapy. And I want to offer this morning that it's not going very well. These are some statistics that I found. These first ones are from the National Center for Drug Abuse. 9.7% of Americans aged 12 years and older had alcohol use disorder in 2024. Every day, approximately 488 Americans die as a result of excessive alcohol use. In 2023, 8.9 million people aged 12 years and older abused opioids. Of those 8.9 million, 140,000 were 12 and 13-year-olds. That was a 21.7 increase from the year before. And this is 2023, 3 years ago. That's the most recent statistics. If we look at screen time, I'm preaching to myself too today, so just know that these are things for all of us. If we look at screen time averages, in the Gen Z generation, Gen Z averages around 9 hours a day of screen time. Millennials, that's me, my generation, roughly 6 hours and 42 minutes a day. Gen X, 6 hours and 9 minutes a day. Baby boomers, 3 hours and 31 minutes a day. I'm going to say that one's a little off because I'm seeing some boomers around here. I could testify. No names, please. 27% of American adults now have an active online sports betting account. Among men aged 18 to 49, that figure jumps to 48%. And there's another statistic that goes with that, is that 97 to 98% of people always lose. According to Covenant Eyes, in 2023, 141 plus million people in the U.S. watch pornography. In that year, that was 61% of our population. 141 million compared to the 115 million that watched the Super Bowl that year. I want to say this morning, emphatically, these things are the wrong source for joy. These are the things that it's talking about in Galatians 6, 7 to 8. Don't be misled. This is Paul talking. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest death and decay from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. What is your joy source? If you've been chasing these types of things or a myriad of other things that could have named off this morning, these are just examples. Maybe you need to get to Celebrate Recovery on a Wednesday night at 6 o'clock and say, hey, these are my hurts and hangups and habits that I've got to get real about because I'm done chasing after these empty, joyless things. Jesus said it this way in John 15. This is verses 9 through 11. He said, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love. Just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. That's Jesus' joy. So that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. Jesus is saying, remain in me. He talks about this in another place. I am the vine. Remain connected to the vine. Remain in me and my love. John's been talking about it all through 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Love Jesus and love the people around you. And then you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. Jesus is the only joy source. He is the source. Any good and perfect gift we have in our lives comes from him. I'm not saying there aren't other great blessings that happen that we can be happy and joyful about, but Jesus is the joy source. If you've ever listened to Tara Lee Cobble on the Bible Recap, she says this every week. You got to get to Jesus. You got to get to the Lord because he is where the joy is. She connects every passage of the Bible back to Jesus because he is where the joy is. So I want to ask you, what is your joy source? Another thing that was on my mind, and I alluded to this a couple times ago when I preached, but just this reminder that Jesus did not call you and I. If we've said yes to Jesus, we're Christians. Jesus did not call us to be grumpy Christians. Can I get an amen? Amen? You know, we ask this question every time we do a dedication. We say, well, do you have room for one more in your hearts? Can you help smile and not yell at these kids as they're running around the hallways and knocking coffee out of your hands, right? This is what Jesus didn't say. He didn't say, go therefore into the world and preach the gospel and scowl in the name of Jesus and tell people everything they're doing wrong and make sure they know how upset you are with them. Oh, and also honk your horn a lot. He didn't say that. What are we so grumpy about? If Jesus is our joy source, we have a whole lot to be happy and joyful about. I'm not saying that we're always just going to be happy, but I'm saying, and I know from the truth of God's word, that we can choose joy. It might be a choice. It might be a really hard choice from moment to moment, but we can choose Jesus, and we can choose the joy that only comes from him. James 1:2, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. God, I'm struggling. You know what happened? My car broke down. I've had this diagnosis and I'm in the middle of this treatment. I lost this family member. And God, I choose joy because Jesus is where the joy is. Philippians 4:4. Paul doesn't really leave any room for other suggestions. He says, always, always be full of the joy. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Psalm 118:24, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We got to start rejoicing. We got to start living out this joy. Jesus died on the cross, poured his life out so that we could be set free from our sin and our shame and our death. And he rose again in victory. And the Bible tells us that if we've said yes to Jesus, then we too have that same resurrection power living in and through us through the power of the Holy Spirit. So what have we got to be so grumpy about? Jesus is where the joy is. The world needs to see the joy of Jesus coming from us, because if not us, then who? I was watching the interview with the Artemis II crew, the crew that flew around the dark side of the moon. And they talked about this. Their team, you could just tell they were just so in tune with each other. Just an incredible team that had been built over years of training and this amazing mission that they had gone on. But they talked about this idea of the joy train. And they said, you know, as a team, sometimes we fall off of the joy train. One of us is off or all of us are off, but we do everything we can to get back on the joy train together and keep moving in the same direction. Maybe today you need to get back on the joy train. Maybe the joy train has been dragging you around. You've been barely holding on. Man, I want to invite you to get back on the joy train this morning. So I ask you again, who or what is your joy source today? And then the second question I want to ask you is, who or what is your truth source today? I found this quote. I wrote it down a long time ago. I don't know where it was from, but it says, as a culture, we have traded seeking truth for getting along. We've traded seeking truth just for getting along. Who is your truth source? I want to say clearly today, if your truth source is a three-letter network from 5 to 7 p.m., and then again at 10 p.m. every night, I want to say boldly, you have the wrong source. If your truth source starts with tick and ends with talk, you have the wrong source. If your truth source is a Facebook community group where people post anonymously, please let me tell you, you have the wrong source. If your truth source is just the next best blog or podcast or show or book, I'm not saying those things are always bad, but if that's your only source, then I'm trying to tell you this morning, you have the wrong source. John warned us about this. Back in 1 John 5:21, dear children, keep away from anything that might take God's place in your hearts. If we fill ourselves with all of these things except for God's truth, then there's no room for the truth. If we go to all these other sources, we are lost and confused. And that's, I think, a lot of where the grumpiness comes in. I wrote this way. As a child of God, I have given up the right to live my truth. I'm going to say that again. I've given up the right to live my truth. I have willingly surrendered to live the truth of Jesus and who he has created me to be. My opinion does not equal the truth. My feelings do not change the eternal word of God. Think about it. I want to think about it this way. A little illustration. What is something that we've all grown up knowing? Every year around Easter, it's like reaffirmed every year. Like, what's a bunny's favorite food? Carrots. Thank you, Pastor Sheldon. Carrots. And I found out in just recent times that, like, if you just feed a bunny carrots, you're going to kill them. Like, Bugs Bunny has lied to us about this. This is wrong. But this is something that I believed. And I found this on the Google, as some people would call it. This is from the Sykesville, Maryland vet website. This is what they say. I promise I'm going somewhere with this. There are many reasons why you should never feed your pet rabbit solely carrots and lettuce. Think about it. That would be comparable to humans sustaining on a diet of apples and cheese, which cheese doesn't sound so bad to me, to be honest. Furthermore, carrots are high in calcium, so too many can cause health issues. They went on the website. So what should rabbits eat? I know we have some fair families that could give us some indications here, but this is what I found on the website. The first number one thing is that bunnies should eat hay and then vegetables. And I'm quoting again now. Rabbits should be given a wide array of vegetables in order to ensure that they are getting the nutrients that they need. Again, this can include carrots and lettuce. Just make sure it isn't the only vegetables they are eating. Here are some vegetables that your rabbit may enjoy the most. Basil, bok choy, broccoli leaves, carrot tops, celery, cilantro, collard greens, kale, and in parentheses, sparingly for kale. And then lettuce, with a qualifier, only dark leaf or romaine. This is what I wrote underneath here. What has been the carrot in your life that you thought was so helpful and good for you, but in reality, it is causing spiritual health issues? What are the apples and the cheese that you've been trying to survive off of? Because if I rewrote kind of the prescription list for what we as believers, as I talk about the truth and the truth source, if I rewrote and I requoted kind of their prescription for what we as believers should be consuming, I would write it this way. Believers should be consuming a wide array of truth. And I wrote that in all capitals. In order to ensure that they are getting the spiritual nutrients that they need. If believers are going to live and walk a life in the truth, they can't just continue to sustain themselves on opinions or feelings or the prevailing cultural trends of today. Here are some truth sources that you might enjoy the most. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Isaiah, Psalms, Proverbs, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I won't sing the song. Romans, Ephesians, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Song of Solomon, sparingly. And Revelation, with the qualifier, only if you read it with a lens of hope and not despair. These are the truth sources that we have got to get into our lives. We must get this truth in our lives if we were ever going to have a chance to be like John and lead other people in walking in the truth. So what is this truth? We keep talking about it, but what is it? I got a lot of Bible, so get ready. John 1, 1 through 5. This whole section, I just titled it, The Truth. John 1, in the beginning, the Word already existed. And if you look in your Bible, that Word is capitalized because the Word is Jesus. The Word was with God and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created and His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness and the darkness can never extinguish it. Genesis 1, verse 1 and 26a, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then verse 26a, then God said, let us make human beings in our image. From the moments of creation, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were all there. And through Jesus, everything was created. He is the truth source. 1 John 1:1-2. We proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and we have seen. We saw him with our own eyes and we touched him with our own hands. He is the word of life. This one who is life itself was revealed to us, and we have seen him. And now we testify and we proclaim to you that he is the one who is eternal life. He was with the Father and then he was revealed to us. Isaiah 9:6-7a. This is one of the hundreds of prophecies of Jesus in the Old Testament. For a child is born to us. A son is given to us. The government will rest upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and his government and its peace will never end. This is the truth. John 3:16 from the New King James, the way I remember learning it as a kid. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. My son Judah, he's my only son sitting on the front row this morning. His only begotten son. That whoever, that means anybody, believes in him should not perish but have eternal and everlasting life. This is what Pastor was praying about a moment ago. If you haven't said yes to Jesus, what are you waiting for? Jesus died for you and your sin, and all you have to do is say yes and repent and turn towards him. 1 John 4:9-10. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and he sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Have you read these things in your Bible? If not, you got to dig in. This is so good. Ephesians 2, I'm going 4-10. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved, for he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us and all future generations as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and his kindness toward us as shown in all that he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things that we have done, so none of us can boast about it, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the things that he planned for us long ago. John 14:6, Jesus told him, I am the way and the truth and the life. Nobody can come to the Father except through me. Philippians 2:5-11, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave, and he was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names. Remember, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I got one more. Romans 8:38-39. This is Paul. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love that God has revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord.
How different would your life be if you began, if you kept going? I'm not saying you're not living this, but how different could our lives be if we lived and we walked in the truth every day? What if our truth source was always Jesus and always his word and always his life? Do you need to change your truth source today? So those two questions, what is your joy source? What is your truth source? And then I would ask you, when we think about John, he's saying, I have no greater joy than to know that my children are walking in truth. John had incredible influence because he was one of the disciples. He was the elder. He had seen Jesus. He had touched his hands. That was John that was saying that I just read a minute ago. He had this incredible influence. And I want to remind all of us that we all have influence. How are you using the influence that you have? This is somewhere in the study that you ladies are doing for the summer Bible study from Lisa Turkhurst. I wrote it down a few months ago when I was reading through that. And she says, big and small, we cause some sort of chain reaction with the influence that we have. What she's saying is we are influencing people around us, whether that's family, coworkers, if you're married, your spouse, if you have kids, it's your kids. But in some way, in the big things and the small things of life, you are influencing people and a chain reaction happens. And I read something from C.S. Lewis to celebrate recovery this week, and C.S. Lewis would go as far to say that either we are becoming more like Christ or we are becoming more like a hellish creature. That's how C.S. Lewis said. And as we do that, we are either leading people to be more like Christ or more like the world and the life that Jesus does not want us to live. How are you using your influence? I watched a video on YouTube. My confession to you today is I watch too much YouTube, okay? This is my confession. But I do learn a lot of things. I watched this video a while ago about polymorphs in chemistry. And now, in our family, I am not the AP chemistry teacher. That is my brother, Eric, who's here today. But I found this video, and it was really interesting. It was talking about some medication that worked for a really long time, then it stopped working because of this idea of polymorph. Dr. Martin, wherever you are, you could probably shed some light on this for us today too. But this is the definition of a polymorph in the chemistry context. A polymorph is something that it's the ability of a single chemical compound or element to exist in more than one distinct crystal structure. Catch this part. While chemically identical, polymorphs have different physical and thermodynamic properties, such as solubility, melting point, and stability. And I was thinking about this idea of influence. And I was thinking about polymorphs, and I have this fear and I have this worry because I have found myself doing this in the past. That although I may have the same exact chemical makeup, I am polymorphing myself in different environments. And I'm not the same person that Jesus has called me to be in every step of my life. When I come to church, I can be one way. When I walk into the gas station and maybe buy something I don't want other people to know I'm buying, I'm another way. Like, these are things, I'm giving examples. I wrote down this question, are you morphing for different environments? Or are you the same person no matter where you go? Kind of like my brother. If you know my brother, you get cargo shorts, a t-shirt, and a hat, as much as he possibly can. And like the way he teaches his class and the way he runs a game at fall retreat for the teenagers, like it's the same level of energy and crazy. And you're always asking yourself like, is this okay? But like, it's just who he is across the board. He's the same person. I've known him for 38 years now. He's been the same person my whole life. I look up to that so much, the consistency of his walk with Jesus and the way he loves the Lord. But are you that same person in every context, wherever you go, or are you morphing? Is your influence being negated? How can your children or your spouse or your coworkers, your spiritual children, follow the truth if you yourself are not consistently leading them in it? Are you setting the example of Bible reading, prayer, coming to church consistently? And I'm talking about that even in the context of sports and kids. I know it's hard, but are you setting the example of coming to church consistently, serving, giving generously? Galatians 6:9, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. I'm not talking about a give to get theology. I'm talking about a theology of obedience and perseverance and choosing joy and choosing truth and not getting tired of living and walking in the truth. And I want to remind you from the beginning, from that New Beacon commentary, that walking in the truth, it is active. This is what we mean when we say we are living transformed. It's this ongoing journey with Jesus. It's not just a one-time decision and I'm done. It's walking this out every single day. How are you using your influence? Are your children walking in the truth? Are your spiritual children walking in the truth? 1 John 3:18-19. Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show by the truth of our actions. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth. So we will be confident when we stand before God. I wrote this. I said, the way that we walk and live every day is the evidence of the truth of Jesus in our lives. And it is the life that he has called all of us to live as we go into all of the world to share his life transforming gospel. I want to invite you to stand as we wrap up here this morning. Third John 4, one more time. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. And I want to say this morning that if that was true of John who wrote this passage, how much more true is it of our Heavenly Father for all of us? For him to say and him to know that we are walking in the truth that he made possible for us. So I want to ask you again this morning, who is your joy source? What is your joy source? Are you kneeling by the bedside crying for the PlayStation 5 just to try and feel something else? Are you engaging in all these things that just consumerism and trying to fill a void that only the joy of Jesus can fill? Who is your truth source? Have you said yes to Jesus? Have you said yes to this eternal life, this free gift that we read about so much all throughout the Word? Jesus died for you and your sin. And today you can say yes to him. Who is your truth source? Then I would ask you, are you walking in the truth so that others can follow in your example? And I would say, if you are, keep going. Take today as a rah-rah. We have got to live consistently and walk in this world that needs Jesus so desperately. And the last question I would ask you today is, are you willing to say, okay, Lord, we're going to sing this song called Available in just a second, but Lord, today I'm available. However you're calling me to be obedient today, I'm available and I want to say yes to you and to your joy and to your truth and to your path for my life. So I'm going to pray and they're going to sing, but we have time if you want to come and kneel at the altar. We have some people that would love to pray with you. I would love to pray with you. But just be real with the Lord this morning. Father, I thank you for the truth of your word. I thank you, Jesus, that you are the way and the truth and the life. I thank you, Jesus, that you died on the cross so that we could be set free. And I thank you, Jesus, that you are our ultimate joy source. That you and your word and your life is our ultimate truth source. And that today, through the power of your Holy Spirit, we can walk and live that truth out in 2026, in our world. We can stand firm in the faith. And so I pray today, this morning, wherever you're calling us to be obedient, we would just be available and say yes to you. Jesus, we love you and we thank you. And we pray all of this in your name. Amen.